Thank you, Brother Ryan. Open your Bibles today, please, to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2. The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2. We've been, for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the subject of prayer. And when you look in this particular portion of Scripture, 1 Timothy, chapter 2, the Apostle Paul has much to say about prayer. And here in this tremendous book of the Bible, of course, the Apostle Paul is writing to a young pastor who's pastoring a big city church. He's pastoring the church at Ephesus here. And when you look at his writings, they're very personal. And the Apostle Paul now is really pouring into Timothy the importance of his personal prayer life, but also the importance of prayer life in a church. Our theme this year is Each One, Reach One in 2018. And our prayer in our heart before God is that God will indeed allow us to do that, to reach folks with the gospel of Christ, to reach people who need Jesus. And not only those that need salvation, but also to reach those that maybe know the Lord as their Savior, but they're not where they need to be spiritually. So we're praying that God will indeed use us in a mighty way to do that. And I would add, simply for His honor and glory. Amen? That's our prayer. Our prayer is that God will allow us to each one reach one for His honor and glory. We're not talking about, you know, boosting us up and our pride. No, no, no. It's all for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come to 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you found your place in honor and reverence, please stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll start our reading here in verse 1. We're preaching on this subject today, prayer changes us. Prayer changes us. When you look at the Word of God here, verse 1, let's read. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Paul writes, he says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And then look at verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we love you. We're thankful for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege we have as your children to be able to come to you in prayer. And God, as we focus this year of reaching one, I pray, dear Lord Jesus, that we will understand the importance of praying to you and seeking your will and seeking your direction in our life. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will use us to make a difference for your kingdom. And God, we'll praise you for what you're going to do in our midst today. For it's in Christ's name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Prayer changes us. You know, throughout the years, I've had people ask me many things about prayer. I've actually had people say, well, preacher, maybe basically the thought of, why pray? You know, if God knows everything and it's going to work out, why should we even pray? Well, there's a lot of reasons why we should pray. And to be quite honest, one of the main reasons we should pray is because God told us to. Amen. God told us. Paul told the church at Thessalonica, he said, pray without ceasing. Literally, what he carries with that thought there is the attitude of constantly being in an attitude of prayer. Do you pray much? I hope you do. Have you made prayer a part of your daily life? Have you made it a part of a daily routine of your life? I said last Sunday, you know, when we go to restaurants, we should pray over our food. You say, Pastor, yeah, but I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to draw a scene. Listen, friend, you're there for an audience of one. We're here for an audience of one, the Lord Jesus. And I know you're aware of this. You are aware that it's only by God's grace that you have the food that you do to eat. Amen. When you go to McDonald's, you better pray over that food, I'm telling you. You know, it's amazing. We go to McDonald's, we're having a Big Mac, and we'll pray, Lord, make this Big Mac nourishing to our body. I'm not so sure he'll answer that prayer. But there's lettuce on it, so you're getting your roughage there. But when we look at this text, we're going to just kind of dig into this for a minute, and hopefully just trying to expound it a little bit so we're able to kind of dig into this and see what he has to say about it. Notice, first of all, the demand of prayer. Paul uses a phrase here that I want to call your attention to because I think it's important to see the heart and the passion of what Paul's trying to convey. He says there in verse 1, and I want to call your attention to it, but I want to read a few verses, a few words first. He says, I exhort therefore that, first of all, underline the phrase, first of all. This phrase, as Paul uses here, it's an adverb that, you know, the word first there is an adverb that speaks of that which is first in time, place, order, and importance. It's an adverb which speaks of first in time, place, order, and importance. If you will, we would call that literally a priority. So what the Apostle Paul is saying, he's sharing with us the demand for prayer. You and I that know Christ as our Savior, prayer is something that absolutely should be a foundational practice of our life. You say, preacher, well what do I pray? What should I pray about? Let me help you with it. Everything. Everything. I mean, literally, if you think of me for a moment, you say, yeah, but I mean, what about teenagers? What can kids pray about? What can teenagers pray about? Listen, when we're kids, especially when we're teens, we're making decisions that literally can affect the rest of our life. We need to pray about those things. You know, a potential mate, you better pray about that. Where you're going to go to college, you better pray about that. Maybe the career choice that you're going to go into, you better pray about that. You say, preacher, it makes it sound like you make it sound, preacher, that we really should be totally dependent on God's will for our life. That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. We should be 100% dependent on God. And in doing so, and listen, I say that even to this preacher this morning, in doing so, that's why prayer is so important. Paul says, first of all, you know, in order and in rank, you know, this is a foundational, it should be a foundational part of our life. Now, why? Why is prayer so important? Well, we give you a few reasons. First of all, letter A, our Savior, he often demonstrated the importance of prayer. You know, it was not uncommon for our Lord, you know, to go and, you know, early in the morning and go off into a solitary place and where it was just him and the Heavenly Father. And he would pray, he would pour out his soul to God. In the Garden of Gethsemane, for example, when he prayed, and the Bible says, as if it were, I think it was Luke who said, as if it were, you know, great drops of blood. You know, the Lord had a prayer life. The Lord Jesus had a prayer life. You know, we think of, and I was thinking about this earlier, actually the last couple of days, I was thinking about this, it's often referred to as the Lord's Prayer, but that's really not correct. If you want to read the Lord's Prayer, that's actually John 17. The Lord's Prayer that it's often referred to as the Lord's Prayer is actually the model prayer, where the Lord is teaching his disciples how to pray. And we looked at last week, you know, they came to Christ one time and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. What a tremendous thought. What a tremendous question. Lord, will you, you know, what a tremendous request. Lord, will you teach us to pray? And you look at that model prayer. And one of the things that really stands out to me is how the Lord Jesus said, you know, one of the parts of that prayer, he says, give us this day. We're praying, God, give us this day our daily bread. You know, we get so focused on tomorrow, don't we? We get so focused on what we're going to do tomorrow or next week or a month from now, a year from now. When yet, when it comes to the Lord, he says, when we pray, we should, you know, Lord, just, we know it comes from your hand. So God, give us this day our daily bread. You see, so it really carries with the attitude of total dependence on the Lord. So we see this illustrated perfectly, the priority of prayer, this demand, if you will, number one, for prayer is the Savior demonstrated. But second of all, Scripture declares it over and over and over. You see the importance of prayer from the Old Testament to the New Testament and all in between. You see the Lord Jesus Christ who demonstrated the power and the importance of prayer in his life. You know, you think of the different stories in the life of our Lord. I think of when Jesus fed the 5,000, which we know there was more than 5,000, but, you know, at least 5,000 the Lord fed with just the fish and the loaves of bread. And yet, what did Jesus do? He took it, he broke it, and he blessed it, meaning he was asking God to bless that and no doubt multiply that. You see, when we think about our Lord and we see his life and we see how his life unfolded, you know, we think about the different prayers that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, remember how the Lord Jesus said, God, you know, not thy will, but thine be done. God, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But Lord, nevertheless, let your will be done. You see, even Jesus understood that the The will of the Father was always perfect and it was always best. But it wasn't always easiest. You see, God's will, friend, I promise you on the authority of Scripture, God's will, and that's absolutely should be a part of our prayer life, is we're praying for God's perfect will to be done in our life. Listen, that's what you want. It literally is what you want. Teenagers, that's what you want. You say, yeah, but Pastor, I don't want to pray for God's will because, Pastor, I want to marry that person. I don't want to pray for God's will because he may not allow me to. Listen, you better pray for God's will because God may be intervening in your life and protecting you from things you can't even see down the road. So be careful. We should pray for God's will. Jesus did that. Nevertheless, let your will be done. Father, let your will be done in my life. What a tremendous thought, how Scripture over and over and over talks about the importance of prayer. We see it illustrated perfectly here in the book of Philippians. Turn to Philippians for a moment. Turn back to just a few pages to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Hold your place in 1 Timothy. We'll come right back to it. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, look at what the Bible says. Paul says, be careful for nothing. The word careful there is the word anxious. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you would say you have a degree in worrying? Right? You have a degree in worry. My little grandmother used to worry about everything. She was scared to death of everything. I know teenagers won't understand this, but this was back in the days of the rotary phone. You know, had a cord. Teenagers like, what? Had a cord. I mean, it was crazy. It was a phone. Had a cord. Well, my grandmother was scared to death of storms. She was so scared of storms, I promise you, she had the dog scared of storms. We had a dog, Sam. We had four or five dogs named Sam, I think. One would die off, she'd get another one. What's its name? We're going to name it Sam. Perfect, great, yeah. You know, but Sam, we had a big dog outside, and if thunder would clap, he would about rip the door off the hinges, and you had to open it, and he'd come running in the house, and he would get behind the television set. I thought, you're going to get electrocuted, you crazy dog. But anyway, he'd get behind the television set. My little grandmother, she used to worry about everything. She'd say, if you were on the phone when it was thundering and lightning, she'd say, get off that phone. That lightning's going to come through that cord, and it's going to strike you dead. Well, when you're like 8 and your grandma, you're like, ugh. You know, you didn't want to get around it. You know, she worried about everything. She just was that, you know, kind of that kind of a person. Well, the Apostle Paul speaks into this. And we see this, he gives us a tremendous verse of Scripture in the context of prayer. He said in verse 6 of Philippians 4, be careful. You know, be anxious for nothing. Be careful. Don't worry about anything, he's telling us. So how do we prevent from worrying about everything? Verse 6, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, when we look at that verse, Paul says, you know, don't worry about anything, but talk to God about everything. Right? Don't worry about anything, but talk to God about everything. You see, now I love that he said that, and here's one of the reasons I love why Paul says this. Because I'll be honest, and I'll say it even in my own life, sometimes when I get worried about stuff, I tell everybody but God, you know. I'll call my buddies up, hey, you know, pray for me about this. And if I'm not careful, I can spend my time, you know, rehearsing the thing that is making me anxious and the thing that is making me worry. And I've repeated it so often to my buddies to pray for me. But yet Paul says, listen, here's how you're going to, you know, the antidote for worrying is to pray and talk to God about it. Tell him every detail. Tell him everything about it. You say, preacher, really? Yeah. You know, I've learned that you might as well be honest with God. He already knows about it, right? If you're worried, tell him. If you're concerned about something, tell him. If you don't know, you maybe not know the answer, or you don't have clarity in a situation, just pour your heart out to him and tell him, God, please help me in this area. Lord, you know my heart. You know where I'm at in my life. And God, you know, I talk to the Lord like that. I'm not being disrespectful. There's times I bowed my heart and head to God, and I said, God, here's the situation. And Lord, I don't know which way to go. I don't know the direction of my life. But God, I know that you will give peace in this. And I know, Heavenly Father, that you will give a peace that passeth all understanding. So, Heavenly Father, may it be your will. Have your will in this situation. And again, I say this not to be redundant or repetitive, but I want you to hear me in this. God's will is always best. It's not always easiest. You see, we live in a culture, we live in a world that if we're not careful, we can be, how can I say this so you can get it? We live in a culture that is producing a bunch of wimps. Can I get a witness in the room? You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, literally, we live in a culture that tries to push the agenda that, you know, take the easiest route. Listen, I'm grateful to God for you that have been in the military, that have fought in many of the wars in our country, has been a part of. I'm grateful to God that our military doesn't just raise up a bunch of powder puffs. Amen? You know, can you see? I can see. Will, you can see this, right? Can you see the 2017 drill instructor if he went by the characteristics of our culture? Can you see? He gets, you know, the boys get off the bus and the drill sergeant who's, you know, up to date with 2017 and 18, and it's 18 now, right? 2018, he doesn't want to squelch the personality of little Johnny. So little Johnny gets off the bus, and the 2018 drill instructor who's had all the training and all the psychological training and doesn't want to hurt little Johnny's feelings, he may have come up to the bus and say, little Johnny, I would love for you to get off the bus and join me in a little bit of exercise, little Johnny. Could you see that, Brother Bill? No, here's what he's going to do. Get off the bus, you puke, right? Get off the bus. My cousin Doug was in Paris Island Marine Corps. He's in boot camp. And he said, he goes, man, it's hot. I mean, you're dying. He said, you've got these, I don't know what he called them. He called them no-see-ums or something, a little bit gnat-like things. And he said, they're eating you on the face. He said, it's just miserable. And you're standing there, and you're all, you know, lined up, and you're in detention. There you stand, and these stupid things are flying on you. He said, and the drill instructor's way up in front, and he said, but you're watching the guys in front of you, and they're kind of twitching, they're kind of moving their head. And he says, and then all of a sudden, one of them can't take it any longer, and he'll reach up, and he'll kill that little gnat thing flying around. Well, as soon as that happens, my cousin Doug says, as soon as that happened, man, the drill instructor was on it. And he ran over to him and he says, you puke. He said, you've killed my sand flea. He goes, and because you're not a Marine yet, you don't have the right to kill my sand flea. We're going to have a funeral for this sand flea. And Doug said he made that guy dig a big hole. And then after he dug a big hole, he acted like he put the sand flea in the thing and he filled the hole back up. He said, preacher, what's your point? I'm grateful to God that they're not raising a bunch of sissies in our military. They're raising men and women to fight to keep us safe and to keep us free. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the context of our life before the Lord Jesus, when we pray, God knows my heart in this. I beg God and I pray that you'll hear my heart and the passion behind this statement. When you pray, please, friend, learn to pray, God, please have your will in this. Please have your will. God, I want your will, not mine. God, you know my heart. You know where I'm at. Heavenly Father, you know what the situation is. And maybe sometimes we could pray something like this. God, because you know what is best for me. And often I do not know what is best. But God, because you know what is best, Lord, please have your will in my life. Listen, friend. Let's just be real. Let's just be transparent and vulnerable for a minute. That isn't always easy to pray. It isn't. Child gets sick. Little KJ. What a sweetheart of a kid. Sweetheart of a kid. Praying, God, let your will be done. You know, as a pastor, I'll be honest, Christy, I would love to have 100 more little kids like KJ. in our church. And just being selfish, honestly, just being selfish, I really would hope that God would raise him up and give him a new heart. I really hope that God will do that. And to be quite honest, I mean, man, I really want God to do that. But then I have to rest and I have to think for a moment. And here's where it sometimes gets hard. I'm just being honest. Where it sometimes gets hard is where you see such a sweet little boy like KJ. And you know the situation is bleak. You know the situation is tough. And the outcome doesn't look the greatest. And sometimes where it gets tough humanly is this, is when you bow your heart and head and you say, God, Lord, let your will be done here. Let's stop there for a minute. You see, sometimes on this side of eternity, sometimes it isn't God's will to heal. Bill Huff, many of you know Bill Huff, friend of mine. He's at Brother Jeff Fain's church, been there for years. He actually would come up here when he was on business trips, when he'd be in Metro Detroit. He would come here on Wednesday night several years ago. And Bill was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer just a month or two ago. And I was talking to Brother Jeff the other day, and he said, actually now, Brother Tracy, he said, they've tested Bill's younger brother, Joey. And I know Joey. We used to go to church together at First Baptist. And now it's the results are in, and Joey has the exact same cancer that Bill has. Younger. So the rest of the brothers are going to get tested. And I think to myself, and I'm just speaking humanly, right? I'm just being a human, just trying to be transparent and vulnerable. I sometimes can deal with the same things that you deal with. And, you know, sometimes when you pray, Lord, in the back of your heart, in the back of your mind, you want them to live forever. You want to have them forever. But sometimes it isn't God's will to heal this side of eternity. You say, preacher, how in the world can that be God's will that they're not healed on this side of eternity? I can tell you how it can be God's will. Because God is an amazing God and can get glory even in the most bleak, seemingly bleak situations. You see, God, I mean, think with me for a moment. Track with me just for a moment. God that you and I serve in Christ, the God that we have, the God that we serve, are you aware that he says in his word and teaches in his word that he is a God that can get glorified even in the death of his children? God can be glorified even in death. That's why he's such an amazing God. He said, preacher, I'll be honest, man. Sometimes it's tough. You see, I gave the title of this, and honestly, I've been wrestling with this title for several days. I've been talking to Brad about it and changed a little thing this morning just because I'm like, man, I'm just really, really just meditating, thinking on this. And the attitude that prayer changes us is where I've kind of landed this morning. You see, if we're not careful, we can have the attitude that we're, you know, we're coming to God in our prayers, and basically we're coming to God in an attempt to kind of, you know, change his opinion or change his will. And, you know, we're trying to maybe, just being honest, that we're coming to God in prayer, and yeah, we're praying, but if we're just truthful, we don't want him to do this, we want him to do that, and we're trying to strong arm him, arm the Lord. Listen, friend. His will is always best. His will is always best. It isn't the easiest a lot of times, but his will is always best. So, preacher, you've told us that a lot. Why are you telling us that? Because, listen, friend, look up here for a minute. The statement, his will is always best, that may be a statement that you're going to have to hold on to in the near future. That may be a statement you're going to have to hold on. That may be a promise that you're going to have to hold on to in the coming days. His will is always best. You think about Job in the Old Testament. Man, what a man of character, man of integrity. Through all of that, the Bible says he holdeth fast his integrity integrity, the idea of oneness, the idea of wholeness. He didn't curse God. He didn't, you know, he didn't stop loving Jesus because adversity hit his life. Pray. Paul says, first of all, pray. Make it a matter, the demand of prayer. Make it an absolute demand. We see in Philippians there, he says, everything. Be careful. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Why would Paul say that? Here's why I think. You can go back to 1 Timothy. We'll finish this up here in just a couple minutes. Why would Paul talk about worrying? Here's why I think he would talk about it. Because there was people in the church of Philippi, I believe, that perhaps had a problem with worrying. Why would Jesus talk about it in the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew? Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talked about, he says, you know, as far as worrying, you know, and how people would worry, he said, Jesus would say, it cannot add any height to your stature by worrying. I mean, you're worrying about stuff. And Jesus said, listen, don't worry. He said, because I'm the God that that a sparrow can't even fall to the ground in death without my Heavenly Father knowing about it and being there. He's a God of detail. He knows what's best for our life. He knows absolutely what's best. And our prayer, Lord, let your will be done. But our prayer also should encompass the thought of, Lord Jesus, will you please be glorified in this situation? God, if I'm sick, Lord, please be glorified. God, if whatever comes, Lord, will you please be glorified? I tell you, friend, there's been many a time that as a pastor, when tragedy strikes, situations, whether it be a six-month-old baby who loses their life in a horrific drowning accident, you see things like that, and you know, and listen, friend, I'm a dad. You said, preacher, you preach all kinds of funerals. You're right. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes, you know, the dad, especially when it comes to children, when it comes to kids, sometimes as the father instinct just kind of kicks in and you try to empathize, and if you can't, I know you can't, but you attempt to as a father, and what they must be dealing with must be what they must be feeling. And sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes just being human, sometimes perhaps even the question why comes up. So, wow, preacher, you mean sometimes you question God? Yeah. But let me let you in on a secret. Let me let you in on a little secret here. As God's child, if you're born again, questioning God sometimes does not make you unspiritual. Questioning God sometimes simply means that you're human. I remember years ago, there was a tragedy in Centerline. It was a fire, and the little boy was killed in the fire. And Rob and I, at the time, Rob was my assistant pastor, we were driving. I said, hey, let's go down the street there. We went down the street, and the fire was so bad. You know, this was like the day after, you know, they fenced it all off so nobody could go around the house because of, you know, the danger of it falling and all that. And But it was evident that the family was right outside the gate of that fencing. And I told Rob, I said, hey, stop for a minute. Let me out. So I got out. And I walked over to that family. And here I am as a dad. Here I am as a pastor. But here I also am as a dad. And as I'm talking to this family, I said, ma'am, sir, I said, my name's Tracy Harrell. I'm a pastor of a church up the street. I looked at him and I said, I can't imagine. Seemingly something like along that line, I said to him, I can't imagine your grief. I said, but please know, I, along with my church family, are praying for you. He said, preacher, how do you pray? They've just lost their child in a fire. How do you pray? Here's how you pray. Lord God, will you please give grace in this situation? Lord Jesus, will you please give mercy to this family? And Father, will you please use this death to give you glory? And God, perhaps even use this death, and I've prayed this many times, to bring others to a saving knowledge of Christ. You say, preacher, do you think God can do that? I've seen him do that. I've seen him do it. I've seen God do that. Paul says, first of all, the demand for prayer. Have you made prayer a priority of your life? I mean, seriously, have you made it a priority of your life? I think if you're a father or you're a mother and you have kids, has your prayer life increased? It does when they start driving. Can I get a witness in the building? Right? I mean, Paul says, maybe I just want you to chew on that little phrase, first of all. You see, friend, prayer changes us. As I was telling Brad, and honestly, I talked to him last night, text through text, and stopped and saw him again this morning because he's putting the slides together. And one of the thoughts that comes to my mind in the aspect of prayer and how it changes us. You know what? One of the things that prayer can do, prayer can really increase your dependence on Him. Are you dependent on Him? Honest truth, give an honest evaluation of that question. Are you dependent on Him? Or are you just kind of walking through life on your own? No. We're only here, every one of us, we're only here by His grace. You know that, right? We're only here by His grace. And I don't know about you, but I know in my own life, I cannot predict what happens tomorrow. I do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. But He does. And I can come to Him in prayer and say, God, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but God, I know that You do. So, Lord, regardless of what takes place and regardless of what transpires, God, will You please give grace in this? And God, and let me end with this statement because this may help you. There's been times, and I'm not a spiritual giant. I'm not trying to portray that. God is my witness. I'm not trying to portray that. But there's been times when we've gone through difficult situations. And I'm not trying to sound super spiritual, but here's what a prayer of mine has often been. Lord Jesus, will You please help me to not waste this trial? You see, because God will bring trials into your life to prayerfully make you a better Christian, make you more like Christ. That's what God's desire for trials are. You see, the Lord Jesus will test our faith and try our faith, whereas Satan will absolutely try to tempt us to do evil. The Lord Jesus will bring trials into our life to conform us to the image of His Son, to cause us to be more dependent on Him, to cause us to be more in line with His will. God, please don't let me waste a trial. Where are you at today? Where are you at in your life? So, preach, I'll be honest, if the truth be known. I mean, I've got a lot of situations going on. I've got a lot of struggles. I've got a lot of situations. I've got marital problems. I've got financial problems. I've got emotional situations. I've got this. I've got that. Okay? Pray about those things. Seriously. Pray about them. Put things, you know, develop an intensive prayer list, right? We pray about it. Every time, you know, you get overwhelmed with something, you just pray, God, please, Lord, have Your will. And we've already established we want God's will to be done. Not our will. We want God's will to be done. And when God does work and God does answer our prayer, rather that regardless if it's yes, the answer to the prayer, regardless if the answer is no, regardless if the answer is not right now, we thank God with whatever answer He gives. God, I know Your will is always best. So, Lord, will You please give me the grace, and God, give me Your wisdom to accept Your will. That'll help you because it helps me. Let's all stand, please, for hymn invitation. Brother Ryan's going to come. We trust if the Lord has spoken to your heart that you'll respond. Maybe you're here today, maybe watching the internet even, that you've heard much about prayer, but you've also heard about the gospel. How that Christ died for you. He was buried. He rose again. And He will absolutely forgive you. God will forgive you of your sin. If you'll place your faith and trust in Him, repenting and asking Him to save you, He'll save you. He'll change your life. Maybe that's your desire, is to be saved this morning. Maybe your desire this morning is to say, preach, I know the Lord is my Savior. But I'll be honest, there's some things in my life that I've let creep in. And it's really affected my relationship with Christ. Sweet friend, I love you, and I encourage you right now, during this invitation, maybe right there in your pew, just bow your heart and head to God and say, God, help me, Lord. You know, help me increase my faith, God. Teach me to pray, Lord. Help me to, you know, to be more reliant on you. We'll talk next time about prayer. There are often times in our life you don't feel like praying. Don't raise your hand. But if I were to ask, have you ever had times in your life where you didn't feel like praying? I could raise my hand. And it's in times like that that it really boils down to whether or not I've allowed prayer to become a discipline in my life as opposed to just kind of a knee-jerk reaction to circumstance. I hope it's a discipline. If it isn't a discipline currently, it can become a discipline in your life this year. It can, if you'll make it a discipline. Make it a priority. What's your number, bud?
382.
382, you come as we sing. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar and pray. Whatever you need to do, we give you an opportunity to respond. You come.